Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Runners Like Us. I'm Michelle here with my co-host Jason. Together, we bring a place for the everyday runner to share their journey of triumphs and their passion of all things running, plus a look at everyday life. Welcome, guys.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we always have special guests, but today's a little extra special. We have my husband Brandon on the show to talk a little bit, not so much about running, but about other things that he does, other activities, and maybe sprinkle a little running in there as well. So, Brandon, will you tell our listeners just a little about yourself, where you're from originally, how long you've been in Colorado? Just so everyone knows, we've been married 13 years, almost 14.
Oof,
So, yeah, that's
it's a
crazy.
long time.
We've been together for 17 years, I think, which is craziness.
Yeah, it's love.
Doesn't feel like 14 years, I mean, time just flies, which is a good thing, Yeah, I'm Brandon. I was born and raised in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Spent pretty much the first half of my life there, I guess I can say that now almost. When I got done with college, some buddies and I moved to Colorado together in 2005. Come October, I will have lived in Colorado for 20 years, which is kind of crazy to say.
Wow,
That's
that's
awesome.
amazing.
Moved to the mountains, lived in Breckenridge. That's where Michelle and I met about 17, 18 years ago. And, I love the mountains and I never wanted to leave, I never want to leave. So that's just kind of a little bit about me. After living in the mountains for 14, 15 years, we moved down to the lower lands because the winters up there can be a little long.
But we still love the activities up there and we miss it. So we understand that sometimes you're a runner like us. Is there anything that you actually like about running?
Yeah, for sure. And
Yeah.
I am sometimes a runner like you guys. No hate on running. It's just not my first choice in activities. But I do like the challenge of it. I've done some races. We've done some half marathons and some 10Ks. We did one full marathon that didn't quite go as expected. And I still have thoughts of trying to do that again. Give it another shot, do better, say when that will be. But it's always kind of been there in the back of my head. But yeah, I love the challenge. I'm somewhat competitive, not super competitive, but it's almost more of like an internal competitiveness with myself, not necessarily with other people, but just telling myself like I can do this. I mean, Michelle knows that whenever she says, "Oh, I've got this 10K," and I tell her, "You can do anything for an hour, so like I try, and that's just me being competitive for myself, like I've gone on some runs with her, like with her running club a month or so ago, and she's like, "Oh, are you nervous?" "No, you can do anything for an hour, even if it sucks or is painful, whatever, you can grin and bear it." I do also like the cross training effect. I would like to incorporate running more into my training because it is good. And I guess I didn't mention that. Like my sport of choice is mountain biking. I'm just obsessed with it. I love bikes. I love that they can kind of get you a little bit further out, the challenge of it, not only the fitness aspect, which is good, but also the technical aspect of trying to conquer difficult trails, difficult terrain. I've always been obsessed with bikes. I mean, my parents have pictures of me at two, not even 3 years old, on a bike with no training wheels. Just always wanted to be on my bike. But I do know that when we were training for the Big Sur Marathon and I was running a lot, when I got on the bike, I felt really strong. It was good cross training because you use different muscles. Biking is super repetitive, same motion. You get some tightness in different spots, and running uses different muscles, and not that you don't use those muscles for biking, but they kind of don't get the same workout while you're on the bike. Yeah, running is definitely good cross training. Still good zone two stuff. I kind of feel like that, it's still a good cardio workout. I mean, it's kind of the same for both sports. You need that cardio fitness, you need to have a strong zone too.
For sure.
So with your biking throughout the week, what does that look like? Like, how often do you bike? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, I just did a race, I guess a little over a week ago. I did the Firecracker 50 mountain bike race in Breckenridge.
It's on the
Nice.
4th of July.
It's on the 4th of July.
Ooh.
Super fun.
Will you tell
Yeah.
us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it takes place in Breckenridge on the 4th of July, which is super fun. I'd say one of the most fun parts is the bike race starts the 4th of July parade. So you get to ride down Main Street. Everybody's hooting and hollering. All the kids are giving you high fives. So you're rolling down Main Street, giving high fives. It's just like a big kind of boost, kind of gets the adrenaline flowing and gets you psyched for it. Then you take off, and there's about 2-ish miles of pavement to start, and then you get on dirt, and you're on dirt for the remainder. It's 2 laps, about 51.5 miles,
Oof.
about 7,300-ish vert. It kind of goes through a lot of different terrain. Like I said, you start on the road, you get on some dirt road, and then you get on single track trails. Climb a lot in the first 12 miles. You gain per lap, you gain over half of your vert. You get up pretty high, around 11,000 feet, and then there's
Oof.
some long descents, some very chunky technical climbs, and there's a lot of people on course, so sometimes you get stuck behind people and
Yeah.
trail's too narrow to pass, so you either slow down or have to walk a section. But yeah, the beginning of the race started raining right away.
Oof. Of course. Of course.
By the time we got up a little higher, around 11,000 feet, it was hailing pretty good. The temperature was probably 40 degrees or in that range. And I'm wearing my spandex suit, so I don't have a lot of insulation on, and got pretty cold. I couldn't feel my hands for most of the first lap, so fell behind on nutrition a little bit because I couldn't squeeze my bottle.
Oof.
Use descending in that. My glasses were covered in mud, so I don't think I was really able to see since about mile four. It's an adventure. And then, you get to ride fun trails. There's some people on course that are cheering you on. There's aid stations that take good care of you. And, when you come down, each lap finishes in the park there in kind of downtown Breckenridge. Everybody's hooting and hollering for you, so it gives you another little boost. And then you go do another lap. Luckily, the sun came out for that one and warmed up, so I was able to catch up on nutrition and hydration. But yeah, it was super fun. It was an adventure for sure.
It was crazy because the first lap, everyone is so dirty because, he says it was raining, but it was like a torrential downpour. And for not just like a few minutes, for a while. So you can do the whole 50 as a solo, or you can do it as a team. And so you each do 25 miles, each do a lap. And the people that got to do the second lap came back all clean-ish.
Oh. It's not the same.
No,
And a
yeah.
little secret, 2 years ago, we did do it as a team. I
We
think
did.
I came
Oh,
in second to
nice.
last, but I still finished. I had
That's
never ridden 25 miles. So it gave me a whole new perspective on that course itself. There's a section called Little French that is a doozy. If you make it up that, you're a maniac. I had to start walking and hike a bike right away. It was so steep. It's like
It's
going up
tough.
Mosquito Pass, like at the very
Yeah.
top there. That's how steep it was.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Leadville.
I got a question. So when you're doing those technical climbs, are you allowed to get off your bike, or do you have to
Yeah.
like? Oh, you aren't? Okay, I thought
You
you never
are.
could get off your
And
bike, so you're
I,
just up there just.
right. I mean, you're going pretty slow, you're in your easiest gear. And there's just some times where it gets narrow and it's kind of luck of the draw. I got stuck behind some people and you can only ride so slow before you fall over. So
Yeah, that's
have to
true.
get off your bike. I got some good advice from a friend. Like, okay, that's not a big deal if you have to get off your bike. You're riding so slow anyway. Pace is almost the same, but he was like, when you get off your bike, don't treat it as kind of like a rest, because that's easy to do. You're like, I'm off my bike, I'm gonna catch my breath, I'm gonna take a little breather. Walk with purpose. Try to keep
Yeah, makes
that
sense.
pace, and it'll be over quicker. And then just knowing that at the top it kind of flattens out into this flume trail and you can actively recover on that. So I kept that in mind and just walked swiftly, as swiftly as you can up loose, talusy, steep rock, Yeah.
Yeah. So
Okay.
going back to Jason's question, what was your training like for that?
My goal was to ride about 100 miles a week, which I hit a good amount of the time. Some weeks I didn't. Some weeks I got a little bit more. Some weeks when it was too hot in Denver, I was a lot of indoor trainer rides, which I would rather be outside, but they're good for zone two, good for really practicing your cadence. That's a big thing with mountain bike racing, is trying to keep a very consistent watt output cadence. If you can maintain, say, for somebody my size, 165 pounds, if I can maintain that kind of like 160 watts at like 85 to 90 RPM, that's good. That's how consistent you want to be. So yeah, a lot of riding. I know you guys know from training for big runs, it's very time consuming, which can be tough some weeks when you have a busy schedule. It's also nice to get out and you kind of get addicted to a little bit and
For sure.
I get that release, and it helps bring the stress levels down. And
Yeah,
yeah. And
I
then
like
really
that.
dialing in my nutrition, that was something that I never really got that serious about. I was just like, oh, I'll just eat when I'm hungry, or I'll drink when I'm thirsty, which, if you're eating when you're already really hungry or drinking when you're already really thirsty, you fell behind.
Yeah, it's too late.
It's
Way
too
too
late.
late.
I was learning that with definitely with the advice from Michelle and then another good friend of mine. I'm eating goose. I use Tailwind in my bottles, lots and lots of carb intake, trying to get at least 400 calories an hour in me. That's a bigger part of training than I guess I ever really realized.
What was the best thing that happened on race day?
I remember telling you this. I think I told everybody. People were asking the last climb. I mean, you're at like mile, so it's like 51 and a half. You're probably at mile 50, and there's one last tiny little climb, not an eighth of a mile, and maybe 150 feet of elevation gain. And it's just that mental thing, like, okay, you're coming up to it, and you're like, oh, this one last little climb. And the last time we did it, I cramped on this little climb. You know, I'm like almost done, and I cramp. So, okay, all right, I'm gonna not do that. But the second I got to the top of that climb, I got a little choked up. You know, I got a little teary. I was like, I did it. I'm not across the finish line, but all I got to do is hang on and go downhill. Like, I'm done. You know, I can
That's
just
amazing.
ride out this last mile and a half going downhill. I don't really have to pedal. I don't have to sit on my saddle anymore. Ripping down that and coming across the finish line and just having Michelle there and other friends cheering us on. Like, that was the highlight. There was definitely other highlights and fun parts. I don't know. Maybe that's not how you're supposed to look at it. Like, oh, I'm done. It's the best part.
No,
No,
but
that's going.
you made it, and that's what you trained for. And I was so proud of you for doing that. Gotta be hard to come around into Carter Park and be like, oh my gosh, I have to go out again.
Yeah, that was, I don't know. I guess I was expecting it to be worse than it actually was. Like when I swapped bottles with you, I feel like I was talking to myself the whole first lap, just saying, remember, you got to do this again. You're not done.
Reminder.
Like, I know, just trying to keep that in my head, like having fun on the downhills, but don't forget there's a lot more ahead. And I actually got a little choked up then too, right when I swapped my bottles and I left for the second lap, kind of in my head, like, I can do this. I got this. Long races, things like that do get kind of emotional. You just,
Yeah,
you
and you have to
feel.
definitely get out of your head and, like as Sarah says, be in that mile that you're in, focus on that and not get too far ahead of yourself or
Yeah, it's just
chase
hard when you know you have
anything.
Little French coming, but I think the aid station right before Little French, like I said, I couldn't see since like mile four. My glasses were just caked in mud. I couldn't take them off because I'm still getting flung in the eyes with dirt. This nice lady was, do you want a lens wipe? And I was like, yes. And she did it. She pulled it out, wiped my glasses really quick. I was like, you're a savior. And it almost triggered something because Little French was coming. I was like, all right, I got this now. One fun thing, a good friend of ours who used to live with us for a little while in Breckenridge, his girlfriend, who's also a good friend, who's very fast. We rode a lot together. We were kind of jockeying back and forth. And, you know, when you're in the moment, and especially because you can't see, didn't even realize it. And then I passed her again, and I was like, Justina? And she's like, who is that? I'm like, it's Brando. And we were like chatting, and we rode a bunch of the race together. So that was super fun. You have a buddy there and somebody with a kind of same speed. Okay, we're jockeying back and forth. You know, I'm not like super behind everybody, you know, and it's like in any kind of race, you'll pass people, you get passed. It's hard to judge where you are in the field. Kind of hang with some one person gives you more of a sense of it. I've always done that, and all the running races I've done, you know, I kind of pick a person and I'm like, all right, I feel like they're about my same level. Let's stay with them.
Keep a
Unless
good
they
pace
start
in the
slowing
end.
way down and you need to, you know.
No, pass them up. Yes, of course.
Do you, Jason, do you do that?
Of course I do. I'm trying to tell you, usually when we at the starting line, I look for the fastest person there. Usually it's the person at the front, or they have something specific on, like a Go One More shirt, or like they're, you know, decked out in gear. I said, yeah. As long as I keep them in my eyesight, I know I'm in like a good place. And then I guess like when you get to those hard parts or the difficult parts, you're like, man, this is kind of sucking. I have my, you know, reserves of somebody else. I was like, oh, they've been moving pretty fast. You know what I'm saying? If I can catch up to them or see them, I'll be fine. It's really just the race I'll be really focusing on. Not even like first place. It's just the race. But if I get up there, you're gonna hear me. You're gonna hear me. So yeah, talking specifically about mountain biking. So outside, of course, the physical benefits and everything, what joy did you get from mountain biking?
Just being outdoors, challenging myself. I Love to go fast.
course, yes.
I'm Ricky Bobby over here, you know. I just gotta go
Yes.
fast. I just love, it's not hard to explain, but I love anything on two wheels. I love the technical aspect of it and the kind of the way all your body and your bike and your mind has all become one, you know. It's your brain can analyze things so quickly and stuff.
Yeah.
I went for a ride Friday night on a super technical trail here in Denver and just, you know, flying down it, and it's rowdy, you know. There's it's loose, it's rocky, there's drops, there's jumps, and just the speed at which your brain can be like, okay, make this tiny adjustment, or you know, compress your suspension just this much, and also while looking ahead, because you can't be staring at your front tire, you're gonna crash. By the time you get to that obstacle, you're already looking 20 feet ahead and your brain has already processed this obstacle, so you don't even think about it, it just happens, you know. It's like heartbeat, it just does it. I love that aspect of it. Technology aspect of it. Nerd and a geek. Like, I just love bike tech and how everything works.
I think too, you are super knowledgeable. Tell everyone how you learn. You're your own mechanic, and you're actually a lot of our friends' mechanics because of that. So tell them like how you learn that.
I've always been a tinkerer. I got that from my dad and my grandfather. They were just the type of people that if something's broke, take it apart. When you take things apart, you learn how they work. See if you can figure out what's wrong with it and then put it back together. I've just always done that. I'll take anything apart, you know. Putting it back together, maybe not, but when I first moved to Breckenridge, I had always been into biking, but just got really a lot more into mountain biking. And Michelle was actually friends with some guys that owned a ski slash bike shop. And I would go in there, you know, for service, and I wanted a job there. And I think when you say something to Rich,
think so.
I went in, asked for a job. They hired me on in the winter. And at that time, it was just so competitive up there. You know, it's a lot different than it is now. You know, it wasn't as expensive to live there. More people lived there seasonally. In that first summer, I remember asking, I really want to work at the bike shop too. And they were like, no, you know, we don't need anybody. We have our guys and, you know, you'd just be winter help. And I was like, all right, work there for another winter. And then that second summer, I ask again. And they're like, you know, we could probably let you work a couple days or something. Got in there and I wasn't anywhere near the tech side of it. I was just like renting out path bikes for people to cruise around town and stuff. And then just kind of kept asking, pushing. And then finally, one of the owners, Rich, was like, all right, I'll let you back in the shop, but you know, I'm gonna teach you the ways. He's the best bike mechanic I've ever met. He's very detail oriented. He knows everything about bikes, constantly looking up on new tech and learning about it. And he's also super cool. We used to call it monster garaging things. And somebody brought something in that was broken and we didn't have the part for it that needed to be ordered, but you know, it was going to take a week and you know, they're out here on vacation. He would put something together and monster garage it, you know, so it was functional and they could go back out and ride their bike until the part came in, you know.
That's dope.
Yeah, he taught me everything, and me being detail oriented and liking all that stuff, it just kind of stuck. And so I became one of the mechanics in the shop. Yeah, just same thing. Tried to absorb as much of it as I could. And at the end of the day, it's all very simple stuff. You know, I mean, it's
Yeah.
wheels turning wheels turning wheels, but
Do
everybody dives into it.
you use YouTube a lot too, if you
Oh,
have
yeah. I
to
mean, for
learn?
sure. Yeah. Use YouTube and look stuff up and just tinker, you know. Like I said, I'll take it apart and see what's going on. And
No, that's dope. That's
nice.
dope.
So usually we ask the running people this, but I'm going to ask you as a biker, because that's kind of our theme today. Do you have any advice for people that want to get into mountain biking and how they should get started, or, and how they should get gear? Because it is expensive. Do you have any advice on getting started?
I would find a cheaper used bike. I mean, go on Marketplace. You try Craigslist. There's a site called Pink Bike. They have a buy and sell section. I've had really good luck with that, selling bikes and buying stuff. You know, it's a good community. That's also a good site just to kind of learn about bike stuff. I would say try to find a local group that does a no drop ride, you know, where it's just everybody of a different ability levels, but people hang back. And don't be discouraged. I mean, it's just like any sport, you know, it's gonna be really hard at first, but the learning curve is pretty quick. You'll get decent pretty fast. Do it as a progression. They mark trails just like they do ski runs, easy, moderate, difficult, extreme. You know, don't try to go over your head right away. Start on the greens, the easy trails, and just feel it out. Also, get to know your bike. Try to just ride it around the backyard, ride it around the street, compress the suspension, just get the feel for shifting gears and all that. You know, and then when you start to progress a little bit, ride with people who are a little bit better than you. That's a good way to play chase, you play catch up, and that'll help you progress even more. But yeah, I know it can be expensive, but there's definitely deals to be had out there right now. The used bike market's kind of saturated after COVID. You couldn't find a bike because everybody's working from home or not working and wanted to get into mountain biking, and then a few years later they've gone back to work or whatnot. So they're selling their bikes for reasonable prices for sure.
Yeah. Just so our listeners know, you're also a mortgage loan officer. Do you have any advice for first-time home buyers?
Yeah.
This is
First thing you
important.
do, you get pre-approved. Talk with a mortgage broker or a loan officer. If you go out shopping for homes without doing that, you're kind of just setting yourself up for disappointment. You know, until you know what you qualify for, there's no sense in shopping. You know, you can go look at all the homes you want, but doing that first makes the whole process less stressful. It makes it easier for your real estate agent and for you and the loan officer because we all know what you can afford. So then you're being shown the right houses. And when you do find that house that you fall in love with, you're ready to go. You can write an offer right there. Hey, here's my pre-approval. Makes the process so much quicker because we have all your documents and just so much less stressful. And I mean, I know it happens, the last minute deals where you weren't really in the market to buy a house, and all of a sudden the house you're living in or something, or the condo you're living in, the owner comes to you and is like, "Hey, I'm thinking of selling this." And you're like, "Ooh, we would love to buy this." I get that. That happens. Still make it happen, but just so you know, it's going to be a little bit more stressful.
I see you stay busy, or you both stay busy, you know, always either like traveling or doing races or just, you know, just enjoying life. How do you continue to experience life for the fullest? Like, how do you make that a recurring thing?
That's a good question.
Yes.
I mean, you just gotta stay positive, stay active, remember why you do those things. Yeah, a lot of times day-to-day life can get boring and stressful, overwhelming sometimes. You gotta remind yourself that do go for a run or go for a bike ride or go on a little weekend vacation or something just to get yourself out of that day-to-day grind. How much better you feel after that, you know? It reinvigorates me and, you know, makes the rest of it not seem so stressful, you know?
That's a good answer. I like that.
Thanks.
What do you do, Jason?
What I do? It took me years to figure it out before I was like making the main thing or like work or whatever. I was like, I'm just gonna focus on that. I'll have time. But now I don't care. I was like, you know, we're doing this. We're gonna go travel, do this, or go experience this. It's really just getting out of your comfort zone and finding that area to decompress because everybody needs that area to decompress or whatever reason you may use it for. And again, remembering the why. You know, why are you doing this? You know what I'm saying? And sometimes you need a reminder, this is needed for you versus, you know, you just going 100% all the time. You need the decompression time or the relaxing time to like reconnect with yourself, reconnect with your partner, whatever it may be. You know what I'm saying? And remember, the most important thing is you. So,
Yeah,
like that.
like that. I had a hard time with that question for a long time. Like, what's your why? I always hated that question because I don't know if it just came with age that I kind of figured out what it is. I feel like anytime you ask a lot of people that, like, what's your why? They'd be like, oh, my family. And I'm like, okay, I get that. Yes, that's a given. Of course, part of your why is your family, your spouse, your friends, whatever. But beyond that, what's your why?
I like
Yeah,
that.
I definitely agree. And again, I asked myself that same question, like really explain it, like your why. Like, why do you get up every morning to do what you do? You know what I'm saying? Is it for experience? Is it for the love of the game? Whatever it may be. Like what are your words that support your why versus like, I can say, for lack of a better phrase, generic, the family or the bills, you know. It's like, can you really explain why you do it? And I think that's a challenge I know I do for myself and encourage others. Like, hey, just really try to explain why you do it. And I think personally, I feel like it gives a little bit more meaning to it because, like, you can really explain it. Okay, this is the direction I want to go to or go into. And here's my motivation. So let's go. Yeah.
No, I agree. What about you, Michelle?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always a good question. I ask myself that a lot, actually, because I wonder if I even know truly what the answer is, if that makes sense. Sometimes I actually, and maybe it's selfishness, like I don't think about anyone else. I'm thinking about me personally. Okay, I go out early in the mornings or I get up early in the morning because I know that for me, it's going to make me feel better. that day, give my mind a little peace, just clear my mind and just be in that moment. But I don't know if that really answers the question of my why. I don't know, to get better, get stronger, be faster, make sure I have an outlet. Maybe that's the why.
Yeah, just focusing on your areas of improvement that you identify for yourself. That's a really good why. It's a really good why, because to even identify it is huge. You know what I'm saying? So you're well on your way.
I'm
Proud of you.
trying.
There's anything wrong either with like your why changing sometime.
Agreed.
I mean, it could change every activity. Like, why am I doing this today? You know, and like you were saying, Michelle, maybe today is because I'm doing this because I want to get faster, or I want to get stronger. So yeah, you can have like the big kind of general why, and then also the laser focused why is like, why am I doing this right now?
True.
Love it. I got a question. I'll be stalking your page. Nothing creepy, but because I do want to eventually get into biking. Obviously, we don't have a terrain for it here, so but we'll figure it out. Just a question for you: do you see yourself ascending to Ironmans in the future or any other related races?
I don't know about an Ironman. I've talked about it for years, doing like an Xterra triathlon. It's trail running and mountain biking and swimming. I think that would be fun. Man, Ironman, I don't know. I don't know if I have. We have a buddy that's done a couple of them, and I mean, I've talked to him about it, and he's the training is just insane. The time that it takes, and maybe that'll change. You know, I feel like right now I just don't have the time, but maybe that'll change someday. I don't know.
What your ultimate goal with biking is, or what you might want it to be.
Yeah, I would like to do the Leadville 100. I tried to get in this year, I didn't. Maybe next year. I think the way to do it is to go volunteer and then get an entry. Yeah, I think that would be really fun, an accomplishment. It's a highly sought after race, which part of me is, do I want to do something smaller? I know there's other 100-mile races out there. That's a big event, you know. It's like it gets a lot of publicity.
I kind of see what you're saying. It's just so big, and now it's so hard to get into.
Almost become like too corporate, I guess, if that's a term you could say. And maybe I'm looking for something that's a little bit more indie or something, you know, like
Yes, sir.
different area. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess there's something to be said to be able to do it though, right? So for all
Just
of
to get
us,
there
like
is.
I'm sure we've all thought about the running part and the biking part. So
I think for like the last 4 years, I submitted for the lottery, never got it. I guess when I talked to Michelle, when I met Michelle that year, we ended up agreeing on the heavy half because I just couldn't get in. Yeah, worked out.
Yeah, for sure.
Is really hard for a few reasons. The main one being that they give lifetime members an entry, which to become a lifetime member and go, it's like $300+ a month. And I'm like, that's just not 24-hour fitness because it's like 24.
Yes.
So I've heard a lot of it's that. And then, you know, they do have like a lot of teams and stuff that they let in, you know, like pro level teams. So I have no idea what the numbers are. A buddy who's kind of closer to that scene said that there's only like 50 lottery spots or something for the mountain bike race out of like 800 people or something. So
That's tough.
it'd be hard to volunteer. It'd be fun to be out there and help supporting people and cheering people on and stuff. So
Well, I'm excited to see if you do another race or something, because you know me, I get all geeked about races. So we woke up in the morning on the 4th and I was like, it's race day. He's just like, okay.
He was locked in. That's what it was.
Yeah, he was locked in and focused.
Save the giddiness for after.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Two questions, actually.
All right.
I'm gonna ask you about your running shoes or your training shoes. What brand you use, obviously. So what brand do you tend to lean towards?
I really like the Saucony's.
Okay, that's fair.
I have a pair of Endorphins that I really like. They just feel fast. And then I've got some of the rides that are comfy. But I mean, I've ran in Brooks too that I liked, or I knew. Like I think when we were training for Big Sur, I was running in some like cheap Nikes. Kind of injured myself because of them. And Michelle was like, you can't run. I'm like, what do you mean? Why not? They were like $30 at the Nike outlet.
Look at the love of the game. That's crazy.
I think that's when I started learning, all right, you gotta have better shoes.
For sure. For sure.
And second question. So bike a lot outside of like the goos and everything. What snacks do you recommend to other bikers or beginner bikers?
I love like the Honey Stinger waffles.
Those are good. Those are good.
They've got a bunch of different flavors. I haven't seen them in a little while, but Cliff made these margarita blocks. They had like twice the
No.
amount of sodium and were kind of lime flavored. I would get the margarita one and the strawberry ones and then mix them, and it was a trailside strawberry margarita.
Nice.
Training, yeah, it's Goos. I use the Goo brand and then Tailwind in my bottles. If I'm not specifically training, I love some real food on the trail, like PB&J, nuts, yeah, stuff like that. A buddy of mine got these. They look like Goo packets, but they're just pure maple syrup.
Nice.
Like that.
Hey, sound good to me.
Oh, pancake breakfast, right on the trail.
Without the pancake. Oh, you
Well,
could have the waffle.
yeah, you could follow with the waffle or follow with that. I'll have to try that. Cherry Bundy. Love that stuff. It's like drinking a whole cherry pie.
Jason, have you tried those? It's really good for recovery.
I haven't tried those. Send
Yeah.
me the link. You know I buy anything. Just send me the link. I'll buy
Yeah. It's
it.
like tart cherry juice, basically.
Yeah, put me on.
Okay.
Please.
I'll send you a little
Yeah.
text. All right. Well, Brandon, was there anything else you wanted to share with us today?
Yeah, I think we covered everything. It was fun. Thanks for
Yeah.
having me on. I really enjoyed talking about sports and endurance athletes. And I think somewhat re recently, I've kind of gained a new appreciation for that. I've always been an active person, but I never really got that deep into being an endurance athlete. And it's kind of fun, to see what your body's capable of.
Yeah, I really loved how you would ask me for advice on nutrition or what you should be doing for your training or your taper. Like, I really appreciated that you asked me because that means that you notice that what I'm doing. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for the advice because I kind of went into this race. Well, when I first started training, a little bit blind, like I said, I'd never thought about it that way,
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time. I know that you have a lot going on, especially today. Really appreciate you taking the time to talk to Jason and I. Will you let the listeners and viewers know how they can find you on the gram?
Yeah, you can find me on the grams at the Ride Home Lender. Try to
Yes.
post mortgage tips and fun bike stuff. Thanks for having me. I had a good time. Thanks.
Yeah, good. You can find Jason at you can find
So.
Jason at Go For Your 30 on Instagram, and you can find me at MQUIT. We had a great time talking to you today, and thanks for everyone for listening and supporting us, and we'll catch you next time.
Catch you next
Thanks.
time. Thank you.
See ya.